So let's see. I'm gonna see if this one works and if I hear anything. Yeah. Let's start with you sort of presenting yourself, your name.
I'm Brain from Airy Weapons from New York City. This is Matt from Airy Weapons. Maybe he should talk to me, see if his levels are good. Come on, level boy.
Yep. My name is Matt. I'm in Airy Weapons.
Cool. So what are you? Who's the? What do you play? What is your role in the band?
When we play on stage, I play guitar, but Brain and I program all of the music ourselves together beforehand, and you know, on recordings, you know, sometimes he plays guitar, and sometimes we play all the instruments except for the live drums.
Yeah, we program the music together, and then on stage, I sing and he plays guitar.
Okay. So the truth is, I don't know very much about your band.
That's
okay. So I actually would like to know sort of how did it all start and stuff.
Well,
the history.
He and I have been friends since we were 12 years old, and played in various bands together since then.
Yeah, when we started playing music in his basement when we were 12,
His stepdad,
you know, played guitar, and you know, so we'd go, and he, you know, bought us crappy guitars and had an old drum set, and so we started our first band called The Deprived. Our first band was called The Men Without Limbs. The name came from Matt's mom.
What was the name of the band?
Men Without Limbs, like no arms. That was Matt's mom's idea. So we started that at, you know, about 12, 13 years old. We've been playing music ever since through a lot of, you know, different things, you know. Punk rock bands and free jazz bands, and you know,
we spent a couple years before this band
Airy Weapons started.
All of the people that started Airy Weapons, it was Brian, Brain, myself, and our friend Ryan Noel, started Airy Weapons, but as like a side project. We had a free jazz band called Army of Ghosts that we played in around in New York a lot, and we had a couple of records out.
It was called Eiler's Angels before,
but then
Army of Ghosts, because we were really into Albert Eiler, and when you're 20, you think it's a good idea to call your band Eiler's Angels, which we did.
Yeah.
So Airy Weapons started the end of 99, the beginning of 2000.
And why did you want to start Airy Weapons when you were doing some kind of free jazz?
Because free jazz audiences are pretty boring. You know, it's like in the thing that we liked about free jazz and what we do now that is the same as that is just like, it's energy music, you know. I mean, I think there's even a famous free jazz compilation called Energy Essentials. And, you know, we would go and we would play and we would, and even, you know, when we would see like some of the people that we liked, you know, we'd be wilding out and wailing out. And the audience is just was a little too polite for the type of people that we are. And, you know, it's partly because, you know, the nature of that music is just more, I guess, is associated more with a sort of, like, intellectual type of thing. And so, you know, you didn't have people dancing and wilding out of the shows. It was just kind of a snooze fest.
Not a snooze fest.
Not a snooze, S-N-U-S fest, because that would be, we'd be into that. It was a snooze fest, like, sleepy time.
We don't have snooze in America.
No, we wish
you didn't
we did.
Have snooze.
But we love it.
Yeah. We have these cheap ripoffs called Bandits, made by Skoll. I don't know, it comes in a little package and you put it in, but it's the tobacco is like not as strong or a different mix. Tastes terrible. Snooze rules.
So you gotta come here every now and then to get your snooze.
We do, yeah. Our friend Magnus from Fox and Wolf.
Yeah, I know him.
Introduced us to snooze, and we've been fans of that ever since.
Have you got some sort of private delivery that comes to New York every now and then?
Yeah, like people that we know that pretty much whenever anybody we know goes over there, they always stash a couple packages away for us.
But snooze, I mean, this is sort of a side conversation, but for me it's connected well with that kind of free jazz people.
Oh yeah? I didn't know.
Yeah, we don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
We just like it.
Yeah, we just, I mean.
Well, you get pretty dizzy.
Gives you a That's what got us into it, because we've been all smoking for years. And, you know, whatever, it has its effect, but it's more just to, you know, look cool and kill time. But it put one of those snooze things in, and I was, like, tripping my head off, you know?
But then when you started ARA Weapons, was it because you got really fed up with the audience, basically?
Well, no, I mean, we've always...
We had rock bands.
We've always been into, you know, a lot of different kinds of music. You know, I mean, there's a point where you go through the rock and roll, and then, you know, from age 12, you're listening to Jimi Hendrix, and then the rock and roll, and then his stepdad turned us on to, you know, the Ramones, the New York Dolls, and then you go through your Velvet Underground, and then you get into Suicide, and then you're like, well, that's pretty crazy, and then you go, and you're like, whoa, John Coltrane, Albert Eiler, you know. And so we've always, even when we were doing free jazz bands, we'd have, you know, little project bands, you know, where we'd have a little drum machine or, like, play, you know, crazy music, so... It's never, you know, we've always been into all kinds of sort of the extreme music.
Yeah. And the other thing is that it's not even, you know, like the music that we like, and I think that we've made, it's like all connected, like I said, by like a certain sort of energy and attitude. You know, it's not.
I mean, essentially, we have rock and roll hearts.
Yeah,
you know? I mean,
basically, and everything that we do and like pretty much comes from the same idea.
Someone's here, knocking at the door.
Thank you.
That's our hungry drummer.
Yeah. Okay. Hi. Have a seat. Okay, so you started ARA Weapons in 2001.
2000.
Okay.
Yeah. Some guy was organizing this series of shows in New York, and he knew our free jazz band, and he asked us, you know, if we wanted to do something a little bit different. And, you know, we had a lot of time on our hands, so we just kind of cooked something up, sort of.
Yeah, we sort of wrote for five songs in a week and came up with a name. And that at the time, we had our alternate, you know, crazy guy names. And Matt's was, what was yours? Ryan, you know, Rilo Nolo. The first ARE Weapons flyer was like, you know.
It was just my name.
I was Maddie. So, but ARE Weapons was going to be my new name. I decided my regular name wasn't cool enough, so. I was going to, you know, have a lot of initials.
He's going to be like a future cop.
Like, you know, like the fancy guys with lots of initials.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I thought it was really, really fancy. And I had a dream that I was a detective and this, that, the other. And it, you know.
That was his name in the dream.
Yeah. So that's how it basically started, with somebody asking us to play a show. And then we made a really cool looking flyer with us looking really, you know, mean and weird. And we wrote five songs. I remember coming, I was learning the words to the songs walking from work to the show, you know, like working at some shitty coffee shop and, you know, walking to the show. And that was the first show, and it was you know, good and funny. I found a place where we could be you know, aggressive and hopeful at the same time, you know, sort of indulge our you know, our taste for classic, you know, straightforward rock and roll, and also get a little weird and play with our drum machines. And so, you know, so it found something that allowed us to be all the things we wanted to be at the same time without sort of having to just go to, you know, instead of having just a no-wave band or a free jazz band or a, you know, sexy this, that, or the other situation, we could sort of be as weird as we wanted to be, you know, in one thing. And I guess it's kind of why it stuck.
And what was the reaction? Because it started as a sort of play project then.
Yeah. And the reaction was, you know, okay.
Or was it just that you thought, wow,
yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
what we're
gonna do? I mean, other people's reactions, while important to us, has never really been our guiding light.
Yeah. I mean, what ended up happening then? I mean, because, you know, I think for, even for a lot of our friends, a lot of people in New York, you know, the early ARE Weapons shows were, you know, kind of a beautiful mess. You know, you know, just somebody might, they were just kind of crazy. And so, you know, I guess we just play a lot of weird things. You know, our friends' parties or... you know, our friend had an art gallery, so we could have a show late at night there and do whatever we want. And, you know, we sort of got a reputation. Our show has basically got a reputation for being really kind of fun and wild and stupid and people rolling around in beer and the PA system breaking and, you know. So that was the reaction. But, you know, I don't know that anybody ever could even really hear the music because the equipment was so crappy, but... I think we definitely got a reputation for being sort of a good bad time, you know. Yeah. People be like, "Let's go watch those guys hurt themselves." And like, I was always a drummer. When I started playing bass when I was a kid, then I was a drummer, and so I'd never really sang before this band, so I didn't really know how to do it. So I'd just get on stage and hurt myself, basically. I mean, not even on purpose. There'd be beer everywhere, and I'd slip, and I'd break my ass, and I'd fall off the stage, which I still do now, but you know, I do it now with a little more grace. less bruises.
But for me, I mean, when you talk about it, it's like a joke. And but since I haven't seen you, and I was just introduced to the music, and it's like, and my boyfriend said, okay, you got to listen to these songs. And for me, it's very, it's filled with emotions that are not only fun and joking.
I mean, we're deep dudes.
Yeah. Whoa.
I mean, you know, but like in that, in saying it in that way is kind of like sums it up. It's like,
we're not going to take our seriousness all that serious.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, people I think get confused about us, like, but maybe you're having the confusion, like, about whether we're, like, joking or, like, whatever. It's like, we talk about things in this way, you know, like, things that are serious in a way, because that's sort of our attitude of life is, like, you know, it's, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, it's like, that there's problems and that we all have deep emotions, it's a given, you know? You can't act like it's the end of the world or you're the only one that does, but you still talk about it because that's what we as human beings have to talk about. I mean, you can't talk about being a fucking rock.
So it's basically, the mixture is because you don't want to get too serious. So.
Well, it's not that we don't want to get too serious.
I mean, we're very serious about the music and
the subjects as well. But just as people, it's like we're, you know, we just don't. Personally, I know, you know, it's like
to get really funny, you have to know how to get really serious.
Yeah, or like you know, it's sort of, you know, it's like the whole fucking, you know, you got to laugh to keep from crying type thing. You know,
and if kind of what comes out on paper and the music is really dark, you know, that's where it goes. I mean, and I wouldn't want to be like that and, you know, come in and, I don't, you know, it's like the music's dark and the feeling's dark. And
right.
At some point you have to fucking be like, all right, dude, enough dark. Like, get yourself a fucking cheeseburger and have a beer and, like, be a regular dude. You know, it's very important to us to be, like, regular people because we're musicians and this, that, the other. But, like, be a regular person and, like, live. Just be a person, you know. So many, I don't know, you know.
It's like a lot of it comes from maybe is reactionary, but not really reactionary. But, like, we see other, you know, you look at other bands and even, you know, I love heavy metal and stuff like that. And, like, some music's really fucking dark and evil. And, like, the stuff that they're talking about is dark. And it's, like, almost to us, we feel like to avoid being a joke, you have to take things not seriously because life is not always, like, super serious. Like, if you do everything all hard or everything all, like, bubblegummy,
you'll miss.
You become a caricature of that thing and you miss the real emotion of the thing. You know, if, like, everything is just, like, all death, dark, you lose that feeling of death and darkness.
And they're not dark princes or ancient warriors, you know what I mean?
It just stays, you know, it's 2006, you know, whatever, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We'd all like to, you know, I'd like to have a big sword and a flying horse, too, but...
Yeah, that was one of my questions. If you could choose one era, time era to live in, where would that be?
This one.
I mean, because it's like another subject that is dear to our hearts is like, and we have some new songs that deal with that, is like people fetishizing past eras or complaining that like, oh, this nowadays is so bad, it was so much cooler then. It's like, you don't know how cool it was then because you weren't around then. Of course, your idea of it, it's like, you know,
it's just romantic.
Yeah, it's romanticized, and it's like even in your own life, your memories, you know, of whatever. If you went to summer camp, you remember the awesome part, not that you had 8,000 mosquito bites. You know what I mean? You remember, oh, first love. You don't remember the days when you're like, I hate this, I want to go home.
But you say you got songs about that. How
well,
are
we
they
have
about?
A new song called Keep the Faith. That's just basically, I mean, that's basically...
Well, that sounds like a ripoff of something else.
Well, what does it sound like?
Isn't there another song called Keep the Faith?
Well, there's You Gotta Have Faith by George Michael, but it's very, very different subject matter, and it's a very straightforward song just about, like, people...
You can't wish to be, you know, I wish I was, you know, these kids who walk around like they want to be the Beatles and they wish it was the 60s, and I understand, I don't even understand, I can pretend I understand, but it's like, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, the world's awesome, you're living in it, you know, be awesome in the world. And
it's kind of be a little bit disheartening. I've always kind of felt that way, that like, I don't know if it's a symptom of now or if it seems like people have always done it a little bit, but it's like if you spend so much time worrying about the past, I mean, you know, the past is there and we all got to deal with it, but if you spend so much time like saying it's better or like trying to live up to it, then you're never going to make the future fun. You know, you're never going to make the present fun so that in 10 years somebody can say that 2006 was the shit and that 2016 sucks.
Thing is, people have always been like that anyway, yeah, and then and it doesn't matter what they say today because in 10 years time they're always going to say, oh, it's much better, right. Even if they...
But I guess the point is we want to be the people that make now seem awesome, so in 10 years people can say that about us.
I wanted to ask you, what's manhood to you? It's just because it interests me.
That's a good question. That is a very interesting question.
Maddie, you can take this one first.
I mean, and I guess...
And I'm talking about today, then, today. And not like 20 years ago.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess it's, you know, I don't think that it changes with time. I think it is individual to how you were brought up and what you've seen as a representation of manhood. And so for me, it's basically not being able to stand on your own and not ask other people for help. And sometimes that's a negative thing, sometimes it's a positive thing. But, you know, my examples of manhood, well, few and far between, unfortunately, for myself. But, well, you know, whatever, it works out. But, you know, is being self, you know, the main thing is being self-reliant and not complaining about things and just, you know, taking what you got and making the best of it for yourself and your family if you have one.
Is that sort of a pressure or or like a courage?
It's a courage. I mean, to like not always look to other outside sources for help or as an excuse of this is why I can't do this or this is why I can't do that. It's like, you know, everything that you do is like sort of like, you know, everything that you do is a result of your actions and, you know, you have to own up to them either, you know, physically or psychically, you know, either mentally or physically, you know, you can't like try to lean back on somebody else for your own shortcomings. You just have to accept them.
What is it to you?
That's a big question.
That's deep.
I'm sorry. I hate doing kinds of interviews that are just like, question. Oh, how's you been?
Yeah, no, it's an excellent question.
I mean,
fundamental.
I mean, there's a lot of different.
But it's also because rock music is sort of very, sure. It's connected with the manhood in one way or another.
But it's also connected with never-ending childhood as well.
Yeah, that's sort of the interesting mix.
It's a tough time.
I think, you know, one thing is, you know, I guess which is the idea of making something and leaving something, which I think, you know, not a legacy. I mean, a legacy either through, you know, the music you make, the art you make, the kids you have. I mean, it's important to me to try to create something and make something that is important to me. It's like the thing that I'm ultimately in my life most proud of, you know, as a man, is making this music. Because I don't have, you know, and the next thing would be a kid, you know. It's like, because really, in the end of the day, it's like I die today. It's like, what did I make, you know? That, you know, on a more day-to-day level, I think manhood is how you carry yourself, yeah. You know. And it has a lot to do with, I guess, honor and just not being a dick, yeah. You know. Being.
And what's that?
It's just being, you know, being honest, not being self, you know, like, you know, to be humble, to be honest, to be selfless, you know, I mean, these are all, you know, goals that are goals because it's hard to be all of these things all the time. But like,
that are also implicit in just regular everyday, you know, the way you live. It's not even just manhood. It's also womanhood. It's everybody, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. You just.
But it's, you know, I mean, being a man, I guess you're just, you know, there's the being a man and what that means when you're going to leave, and then there's trying to be a good one, you know. Mm-hmm. It goes for girls, too.
Yeah, but what you say really goes for girls as well. But can you see, because there's sort of a concept of what manhood is, and what is your relation to that? I mean, like the stereotype of the man.
Well, it definitely is. I mean, my personal relationship with it is kind of can be a struggle, like, just in the sense, like, because one of the biggest parts about what you get passed down to you and what the general concept of it has to do with pride, and the way that people deal with pride on a day-to-day basis can be, you know, honorable and profound, but it can also be very petty, you know what I mean, and lead you to do things that you don't need to do. And so that's, I mean, for me, that's like something that I actually personally struggle with, you know, like how
to sort of keep on the right side of that
it's
line.
It's just basically, you know, basically how you using it in a way that is noble rather than foolish, you know, because people talk about foolish pride as a real thing, and I have it. You know, it's like the difference between when somebody scuffs your sneaker, being like, all right, man, or being like, get back here, I'm going to kick your ass. Yeah. You know, it's like you're supposed to have pride in your appearance, and you don't want people to step on you and to, you know, take advantage of you. But there's a line with which you have to let things slide to be a human being, you know, and a lot of times the stereotype of the man, it's the basically tells you that there is no line there, that you always have to like stand up for yourself. Nobody can touch you, you know what I mean? That's, I don't know.
Well, how do you deal with that then? Or how do you keep on the right side of the line? Or do you?
I think I do, but it's like it's a struggle for me. I get aggravated a lot, and I get angry, but then I just tell, you know, you just have to, I mean, the best way to do it is just to sort of look at the larger picture and see what the consequences of your actions are going to be, you know, but like do it quickly on your feet, you know, like to judge a certain, you know, situation by situation.
We have an outlet for a lot of our aggression that a lot of people don't have,
yeah.
You know, so we don't get involved in sports fights, you know, or bar fights. You know, and a lot, you see that, I mean, we both work at a bar, so you see a lot of drunk male aggression, and, you know, and for better or worse, that's a lot of what manhood is these days, is, you know, greed and jealousy and
I mean, that
aggression.
Stuff is fun and it has its place, but it also...
It's not that fun.
No, but, you know, fighting and things like that, and getting involved physically like that definitely has a place in the male world, but unfortunately, most people... but it's hard to do it in society where you're not causing people problems and yourself problems, you know what I mean? And that's what he was like, we have a good outlet for it, you know, it's like...
You know, I mean, I feel like our music is, you know, it's aggressive music, and it's like, in my mind, you know, it is macho music in that it is aggressive, you know, there's nothing fey about what we're doing, but we try to, just try to mix that kind of aggression with, you know, something positive, you know.
But then you have this song called These Tears, I think,
yeah.
which is very sort of, it's not very the stereotype, well, it's the stereotype of the man, what he or you
yeah.
used to be, but then he's just crying, but well, it seems like he's dealing with the
yeah.
with what a man is supposed to be or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, but that's, you want to.
No, I mean
that that song. I mean, is a lot. I keep saying, but it's, you're right. It's like looking at the what's expected of you, and
tough
and then what and what you expect
like,
of yourself.
Sorry?
Like the tough guy mentality, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe, you know, not even the world telling you have to be a tough, you telling yourself you have to be a tough
yeah.
guy, you know, convincing yourself, it's like, dude, don't, you know, don't be a pussy, dude, tough it out, and you try to get yourself to be, you know, so hard, and like, you're like, the only way I'm going to get through this is just to be really hard and cold,
yeah.
And, you know, and
it breaks, you know,
and at some point, you know, and that's how you are, and you're hard and cold, and at some point, you know, you lose it,
yeah.
And
I
that's,
mean,
and that's fine, you know. I don't know, you know,
that's
why you write songs about it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that song is a little bit about, in sort of the thing I was talking about, the way, you know, pride can be helpful or, you know, foolish. It's like, that song is sort of about, like, going that way of life and, like, living hard and, like,
being proud.
Being cold and proud, and how over time and in certain situations, how that can make you miss out on opportunity, you know, just, and like things that other people have that you don't have because you won't let yourself, you know what I mean? And then seeing that, yeah, it doesn't really matter if, you know, it's like, you know, all right, so I cried, you know, I'm sitting alone by myself, I'm fucking thinking about something that is terrible and sad and happened to me, and I'm crying, and it's not changing anything.
Yeah, but the only person who thinks that it's wrong
is you.
Yeah. You know, because the rest of the world's like, you know, it's totally fine.
Yeah,
and it's like, dude,
cries.
You know, it's fine, but it's just being so hard on yourself, and like, you know, I mean, I'm hard on myself, you know, about a lot of things, and not just, you know, I think it's like a song that comes out of, you know, you know, us being just really hard, you know, not giving yourself any easy outs with the music, with life, you know, with, what'd you find?
Sticks.
Yeah.
What else is, on what other subjects are you hardening yourself?
Just everything, I mean, you know, I mean, the music, everything, you know?
It's got to be perfect, sir.
Well, it's kind of, no, it's not, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it's like, you know, there would be easier things to do,
yeah.
You know?
And
it's like,
the
and
way that we do it as well.
To try to make something new and try to make something meaningful and to still have it be sort of fun and, you know, just everything, you know? Like to, you know, I'm a critical dude, you know, and, you know, dealing with myself first and foremost, you know?
But does it come down to other people as well?
I'm really, you know, retardedly critical, and it's not
of other people.
It's not a good quality. You know, it's like I don't like most things, most people, but I love, you know, but I love the world. So it's the things I like a ton. The things I don't, you know, there's just a lot of things I don't like, and I don't love that about myself. But I know that's how I am, you know. And if someone's like, "Hey, isn't that groovy?" I'm like, "No, I do not find that groovy." And that's just, you know, and that's really how it is. The people are like, I'm gonna go do this thing, and like, I think most other people have. You know, their collection of things they like is like this, and I like, you know, and these things I like the shit out of them, and you know, I don't have, you know, I've got like not eight friends, maybe six, five, eight, you know, it's like, but I, you know, it's like, and that's just how I am, you know, but I'm totally happy being that, you know, I don't know.
It sounds hard, but I sort of recognize myself in that. Are you the same?
Yeah, I mean.
Is that what you get?
I think I try to be a little bit more. I don't know what the right word for it is, you know, or at least I'm outwardly a little bit more tolerant than he is, but like we basically share the same likes and dislikes and disdain for people. My problem is basically being annoyed or upset or hating people that like things that I don't like. Like, basically, if somebody, you know, it's like somebody wants to do something in a way that I think is stupid, then I just don't like that person, you know? Or, like, you know, it's like when, it's like, you know, my knee-jerk, you know, even though I know that this is not the right way of thinking, like, my knee-jerk reaction is, you know, if somebody says they like the Beatles, that means that we're not friends. You know what I mean? Because that says something, it's like, and it's petty, and it's kind of a petty thing, it's like, because I feel like things that I like and that do represent who I am and what I'm doing, and so if somebody's like, "Oh yeah, I like Oasis, I like the Beatles, like that." I'm just like, we have nothing to talk about. But I know that that's wrong because I know I probably like have tons of friends that like those things.
Yeah.
But my mentality is just like, cut it off.
Yeah, I mean, also, I mean, part of being critical, me being critical of bands and culture and magazines and films is that I'm upset that I've involved myself in this world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I could be
a scientist
or something else where it's like, you don't worry. It's like, hey, that's a groovy new band. Now a groovy new band just makes me want to kill somebody, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, so, it's, you know, but it's like, but I love music and I believe in rock and roll and this, that, and the other. The modern culture, I like less, you know? It's like, I love music and the lineage of things that I like and, you know, I love.
But then isn't it also that it's so much at the moment? And I mean, since there is so much, there's got to be lots of crap as
well.
Yeah.
Got to play the percentages.
Yeah, and I don't. There should be no pressure even to like these. It should be fine to let them all live. And that's pretty much what I do. Yeah, it's pretty much what. Yeah.
But there's still that like core of like sort of like, you know.
Like, you know, people are like, "Oh, you're in a band. What kind of music do you like?" And I'm like, "I don't really like." You know, it's like, "What are you listening to these days?" And I never have an answer. I'm like, Not the same stuff I've been listening to the last 20 years, you know what I mean?
But then you were the one saying that you're going to like your time and not idealize no, what that, was before.
But our point
is... That's part of the struggle.
Yeah, you know,
part
of we're trying to... I mean, and also we've... Part of what the way we're hard on is that we feel like I said before, like we're responsible for trying to make our time a little better than people that... Other things that we see out there. And part of, as we spoke about before, our dislike for those things. Maybe other bands and other whatnots is, you know,
have high standards,
or it is just, you know, that they don't try to live in or like try to make something that is of today. They tried to, you know, whatever. Yeah. But you know,
I mean, it's just, we've got, if you have high standards, you're going to set yourself up for disappointment, you know? So it's like, and that's, you know, that's fine. That's fine. That's life. And that's the, you know, what you've got, which is, you know, totally cool. I love having high standards, you know.
Of course, you gotta have it.
Yeah.
But in doing that, you're gonna make something that's 98% better than everything else that's happening.
Ideally, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's gonna be the, if you don't have that aspiration,
right, then why are you bothering
then,
to
yeah,
do it at
exactly,
all?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
And but so then there is the other, you know, reason that makes talking generally sort of silly is that everybody, every band that I dislike, and every movie, whatever the thing that every person that went set out to make that thinks they're the best and they have high standards or they wouldn't have done it at all, and you know,
but sometimes that's not enough,
right? But I mean, basically, is like, it's a matter. It's just all, but it's all a matter of taste.
It's a matter of taste, and that's the world we live in.
But it's also a matter of conformity, I think, because some people just want to. I don't know. They're
make
too.
A decent version of the things that they see.
I think so.
Because that's fun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's fun if you like this. And then, I mean, you know, being successful is fun. And a good way to be successful is to make successful sounding music. And a good way to do that is to make music that sounds like something that was successful.
Yeah. And to conform to.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, and by that way, you conform by. You're conforming to something that already existed. So.
You know, and you shouldn't knock anybody for having a good time. You know? Right.
So we try not to,
you know.
But even though there is,
I mean, well,
but you want to,
you want to. But we try.
I mean, because it's like, and it's those other traits that are like, you know, it's jealousy and envy and things that are like, you know, you try as hard as you can to push them out, but sometimes you see people and they're like, so they get it all. And you don't have any, you know.
Yeah.
It's the struggle. You're like, I want that, but I won't stoop, you know. Or you just want that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard seeing people get things you want.
Yeah.
And it's something, it's one of the worst qualities you can have, and it's something I try to get rid of, because it's the worst thing, the worst way to go through life. But
yeah. Jealousy is out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really hard to, I mean, I think everybody struggles with that.
Yeah.
I couldn't see, like, a human being not being jealous.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah.
It's just the human affliction.
Yeah, I suppose, even though it's bad. I wanted to ask you, what do you think about feminism?
I'm all right with it. I mean, I owe my knowledge of it as a, like, science or whatever, as a philosophy, is not that strong. I mean, I think that, you know, the things that happened in the past in this country, you know, in this, I don't know, like...
What, in Sweden, or...
Oh, no, not in this country. And sorry, I'm thinking my own country. But, you know, it's like progress, you know, was made from a point where women didn't have certain rights in a certain way, but it wasn't like not everyone wanted them, I don't think. I mean, I don't know. It's I think that no matter what laws you have in place, that men and women balance each other out in a certain way, naturally, and, you know, and just in the same. But, you know, things...
It's, you know, like believing anything, as long as it's not hurting your life, you know?
I mean, I think it's important, you know, it was important for the people to do what they did, like, you know, to, like, have equality in voting and, like, sort of recognize the problems that were existing in Italy. I don't know about Sweden, but in American society,
it's pretty much the same
from the past, and just in terms of like sharing of power on a public level, and the recognizing of problems with the weak and the strong, like, you know, how when it recognizes a problem that in a lot of situations women were being taken advantage of, they had no recourse in any other way, but just in the same, but that is also the same thing universally for, like, people that have no money or are just generally physically weaker than other, not saying that women are whatever, but but, you know, it's an overall
next.
No, it's like an overall problem that I think was addressed not fully, but for women, that just recognizing that there was a lot of women in the world that were being basically beat down without any sort of outlet to let anybody know that that was their situation, you know what I mean? And just recognize it in a wider sense.
We lost this guy now.
No, I'm back.
Totally back. I mean, this is a very difficult, I mean, this is something that...
I mean, I don't know, feminists, there's a certain rap that feminists get in America of man-hating and...
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's where
that's my point before, was like... You know, man, that kind of thing, you know, misogyny or man-hating, those, you know, it's bad, you know what I mean? When you wrap your whole life up in that kind of thing. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if I exactly know what modern feminism, or, you know, I know for a fact I do not know what's going on with modern feminism,
Neither do I. I mean, this is just off the dome.
Yeah, I mean, the rap, they, you know, feminists get a bad rap in America, and maybe they deserve it. I don't know. You know. I mean.
Maybe they do.
I don't know. College. You know, a lot of it starts at college campuses, where a lot of bad things start in America.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of bad ideas.
Yeah.
You better keep out of it.
I'm out of it. I live on. Yeah. I don't know. College annoys me.
Yeah. College.
Well, college annoys you.
Yeah. It's a bad idea in America. I mean, it just, I don't know how it is over here, but I'm. You know, I couldn't. Just throwing a number out there, like 75-80% of people that go to college in America should not be in college. Not because they're stupid, but because they're not in college because of an interest in learning. They're in college because that is what you do. And, you know, I mean, to me, what I've seen, the best product of, you know, that everybody goes to college in America, not everybody, but, like, you know, most of it is basically keeping those people out of the workforce because people are living longer, so you gotta wait for longer for people to retire. But, like, I went to college for, like, a semester, and it's just not right. I mean, those people, I didn't like college kids when I was 6. I didn't like them when I was 15. I didn't want to go to college.
Why did you go? Because you have
to. Because my mom tricked me. She moved away. And I was living by myself. And she's like, hey, you should go to college. You're a smart kid. And I was like, I'm not going to college. A, because I'm not going to pay for it. And you got no money to pay for it. And she's like, no, go. Me and your father will figure it out. So I show up at school. And, like, they paid for half of it. And this was not a very expensive college. And so, like, basically all the savings that I had, I basically got to school. And they were like, well, they only paid half. And either they lose all their money right now or you pay us the other half. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll go. So I emptied out my bank account and went. And it was just... College kids are annoying because they don't think. They get, like, little things thrown at them.
Smart.
Oh, it's
painful. No, but it's a conformity we talked about before.
Yeah. But conforming to, like, the idea that you are really smart when you're especially not thinking for yourself is mad annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you not playing at colleges and for college students and stuff?
Yeah, we are, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Put up a sign saying no college students.
Well, but I mean, this also goes back to what I was just talking about. It's like, yeah, I hate I've always hated college kids, but probably 50% of the people that I know and like went to college or whatever, you know, and they're fine. I mean, as I say, I hate it, but, you know, how much can you really hate something that you don't have to deal with?
Yeah. So, with your show that we're going to see tonight, what was it gonna be?
Fairly awesome.
I might as well not ask that. I might as well just.
It's gonna be one of those shows that after you see it, all your friends that told you that they were gonna come to it that didn't, you're gonna be like, this was a show that you should have went to, and you're gonna be talking about it for, like, the next half a year. Yeah. They're gonna be kicking themselves in the ass because they didn't come and see it.
I mean, it's gonna be us, you know, doing our thing. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's only music, but you know, yeah. We like it. We try. We think we feel like we try harder.
Good. I stopped just because...
Poet Warrior.
What was that on your...
Poet Warrior.
It's St. Matthew.
And who's that?
He was one of the apostles. He's...